Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Welspun Corp Limited Q4 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. We have with us today Mr. Vipul Mathur, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Percy Birdy, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Akhil Jindal, Group CFO and Head Strategy, Welspun Group. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. And now I hand the conference over to Mr. Ayush Bansal of Emkay Global. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bansal.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for this opportunity. I shall now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Very good morning to all of you. This is Vipul Mathur, MD and CEO for Welspun Corp. I hope all of you are keeping safe and keeping fine. It's a pleasure to address this conference call, and thank you for joining us today. Just to start with, I would like to give you some brief operational and financial highlights as to what did we achieve in Q4 and this FY21. We are very pleased to inform that, once again, in this pandemic year as well, we achieved a sales of 1 million ton pipes. The total income from our operations is up 30.6% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our EBITDA stands at 321 crore rupees, up 27.1% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our PAT at 225 crore rupees is up by 15.3% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our net cash stands at 620 crore rupees. We generated a free cash flow of 723 crore rupees during this year, and our current order book stands at 4,800 crore rupees with an active order book of 1.2 million tons. As I said, our net cash is at now 620, which was versus 314 crore rupees at the end of December 2020. The sale of PCMB division and the receipt of its consideration post 31st March 2021 has further strengthened our net cash position, and now, as of today, it stands at almost 820 crore rupees. Just to give you a brief overview on the market and what are the key drivers, as you know, Welspun Corp has a global presence. We are present geographically in India, in Saudi Arabia, as well as in the U.S. And just to give you a flavor as to what is happening on all the three markets and where do we see the market heading for as a guidance for the future, I think so that will be you would be very keen to understand that. We are seeing that with the cuts which OPEC and OPEC Plus have announced, the prices for the crude oil are now almost at a highest level and almost they're touching like close to $75 a barrel. We have seen a very strong rebound both on the demand side of it as well as on the firming price or on the price firm as well. We are seeing even the gas business, which is definitely going to dominate the mix, is also growing up steadily. All in all, looking at the firm up of the pricing as well as the demand, we are very optimistic that in the mid to near term, mid to short term basis, or short term to mid term basis, we would see an incremental growth coming across all the geographies. However, specifically talking about India, the demand, energy demand in India is the fastest among all the major economies. The country's share in global primary energy consumption is projected to increase by twofold by 2035. There's a big thrust on natural gas as part of government's plans of raising its share in the country's energy basket. Therefore, an interconnected national gas grid has been envisaged to ensure adequate availability and equitable distribution of natural gas in all parts of the country. At present, there are about 17,000 kilometers of natural gas pipeline operational in the country, which with plans to almost double this capacity. The union budget contained announcement to increase the use of natural gas, including addition of 100 districts to the city gas distribution network, and setting up an independent gas transport system operator to facilitate booking of common carrier capacity in natural gas pipeline. We did witness a recovery in the water segment post the first phase of an epidemic. However, the second wave and the all-time high commodity prices have slowed down this activity a bit in the sector. In any case, we have a strong feeling that water will remain a key focus area in the country, and we are confident to see bounce back of the demand both for line pipes and DI pipes in H2 of FY22. We continue to stay focused in the export market. The recent award of Barossa order honors from the Australian market and award of few other international projects clearly reflects revival of pipeline demand, its potential and the opportunities in the export market. We are in discussion with various customers across geographies and are confident of bagging new export orders in the near future. As regards USA, as you know, where we have a large presence, a positive economic outlook and higher oil price are anticipated to provide demand recovery in the oil and gas sector. The expected increase in the oil and gas production in the coming quarters would drive significant growth in the pipeline project. Currently, there is a caution among the midstream companies after major pipeline projects have got stalled because of the environmental opposition. However, we are very confident that this demand, based on the strong oil price, gas price, as well as the demand, is going to revive in the later part of H2 FY22. In terms of Saudi Arabia, we had seen a minor business impact coming up to us in quarter 4 of FY21, which was on account of lower sales and also a sharp increase in the steel price, which reduced our profitability. However, we still have a confirmed order book of 184,000 tons, and for which the steel price are completely locked in, and which will ensure our business continuity till quarter 3 of FY22. We are also seeing Saudi Aramco in the process of finalizing few projects, and being an LTA holder, which is a long-term agreement holder with Saudi Aramco, we are expecting to receive a significant portion of this line pipe order during H2 of FY22. We have also proposed the listing of our Saudi JV at the local stock exchange. The process of listing would involve divestment of 30% stake split proportionately between the JV partners. Welspun currently holds 50% in the JV through its overseas subsidiary. The divestment will further improve liquidity at WCL. We target to complete the listing in FY2022. Taking this opportunity, I also would like to inform you on few of the business updates. As you would have seen, that we have a healthy balance sheet. We are a net cash company. It is now time for us to embark on the growth journey. Accordingly, in order to improve our earning predictability and enhance margin in the business, it is imperative for Welspun Corp to enhance and diversify its product portfolio, catering both B2B and B2C segment. It is with this objective the company has decided to diversify its steel portfolio and bring the following manufacturing setup under one fold, which is Welspun Corp. Number one, large diameter pipe company. The company already enjoys a global leadership position in this segment and will further continue to focus on expanding its customer base and presence both domestically and globally. Number two, the DI business. As already announced, the company has forayed into the pig iron and ductile iron business by setting up a greenfield project at Anjar. Considering the robust demand, expected growth, and budgetary allocation by Government of India under Jal Jeevan Mission, the sector is bound to grow exponentially. Accordingly, the company has decided to enhance the capacity of this project from 250,000 tons to 400,000 tons. This will be one of the largest standalone single location DI manufacturing facility in India. The project is well on track and will be commissioned by March 2022. Number three, we are also forayed in setting up or in acquiring a long product company. We have noticed a fundamental shift in the steel market and believe that there is a sustained demand and a strong commodity cycle in times to come. In order to leverage this opportunity, we intend to pour into manufacturing of steel long products, and accordingly, company is setting up a brand new state-of-the-art TMT bar manufacturing facility having a capacity of 350,000 metric ton per annum through a proposed demerger scheme of Welspun Steel Limited with WCL. As you know, TMT bars are extensively used in the construction industry, both in projects and by direct consumers. With the emphasis on infrastructure development and the resultant construction boom, this facility would significantly contribute and bring growth to our earnings. This facility will be based out at Anjar, adjacent to our DI complex, and the synergies between the two, especially in terms of raw material sourcing, common infrastructure, technical manpower, management bandwidth, etc., will add further value to this proposition. Fourth, stainless steel tubes and pipes. As you know, this product is used for critical application in offshore oil and gas, supercritical boilers, light water reactors, nuclear submarine program, nuclear plants, defense, refineries, petrochemicals, etc. A big push for localization of this product under Atmanirbhar Bharat, implementation of quality order, mandatory BIS certification in India, withdrawal of export benefit by Chinese government, and a likely imposition of 10% export tax by the Chinese government would act as a major catalyst for this growth, for the growth of this sector. Keeping in view these major policy changes, through the proposed WSL demerger scheme, WCL will also be acquiring 50% stake in WSSL, which is Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited, which has a state-of-the-art and a very unique and boutique facility located in Gujarat. As you know, the facility produces alloy and stainless steel blooms, alloy and stainless steel ingots, alloy and stainless steel rolled bars. Over and above, this capacity also produces stainless steel and nickel alloy pipes and tubes. The capacity of alloy and stainless steel is almost 150,000 tons, and that of stainless steel pipe is 18,000 tons per annum. This facility would also synergetically contribute and bring growth to our earnings. A simple comparison of industry peers in this segment would clearly demonstrate that. Apart from these four major portfolios coming into our basket, we will also continue to evaluate suitable opportunities both for organic and inorganic expansion which have synergies to our business. It is important that we continue to expand our product offering for growth and enabling predictability and enhanced earning. However, all prudence and due diligence will be exercised with a clear oversight from the board. I also take this opportunity to give you an update on the projects. The ductile iron project. As we previously announced in October 2020, given the industry prospects and synergies with our existing business, we are setting up a greenfield facility at Anjar to enter the ductile iron pipe business. Over the last few months, there has been an increased focus on creating water supply infrastructure in the country through various government schemes. In the Union Budget of February 2021, there was an increase in the allocation on Jal Jeevan Mission, and Jal Jeevan Mission Urban was also announced. The outlay for this is almost Indian INR 2.87 trillion and it will be implemented over the next 5 years. Tap water connections to 2.86 crore urban households and liquid waste management in 500 cities has been envisaged as part of the scheme. Increased spending by the state government and municipal corporations is also expected to improve the accessibility of drinking water across this country. Considering the expected demand, we have decided to increase the capacity of our DI pipes from 400,000 tons to 400,000 tons and also adding up a DI fittings to the product range. This will bring the total project cost to 1,550 crore rupees plus the soft cost from the earlier plant of 1,250 crore rupees. The project is being funded through a combination of internal accruals and debt. There are no changes in the timeline and the project is expected to be commissioned by March 2022. Plate and coil mill divestment. As you are aware, Laptop Finance Private Limited assigned all its rights and obligations under the BTA, the Business Transfer Agreement, to JSW Steel. Accordingly, the PCMD division stands transferred to JSW Steel Limited with effect from 31st March 2021 for a consideration of Rs. 848.50 crores plus closing adjustment towards the net working capital. As on June 8, 2021, we have already received a cumulative consideration of 723.50 crore out of that 848.50. The balance consideration subject to closing adjustment of net working capital will be received on fulfillment of certain regulatory approvals and payment milestones as provided under the BTA. We are very confident that the balance formalities would get completed in the coming next 7 to 10 days time. Third, the proposed acquisition of a steel business of WSL by WCL through a scheme of arrangement. The board of directors of the company at its meeting held on June 20th yesterday had decided to propose a scheme of arrangement between Welspun Steel Limited and the company to NCLT to transfer the WSL steel division of to the company with appointed date as 1st April 2021, subject to regulatory and other approvals. As you are aware, WSL is a privately held company situated in Welspun City, Anjar. In its steel division, it manufactures steel billets, DRI, and now is implementing a greenfield project for TMT. The expected project cost is 175 crore rupees plus the soft cost, and the project is expected to be completed by September 2022. Besides, as a part of its steel division, WSL also holds 50.03% shares in Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited WSSL, a listed company on BSE. WSSL is an integrated producer of quality steel pipes and tubes right from steel making to the finished product. This is in line with our business growth and diversification strategy. The board of directors appointed two reputed valuers for valuation and one merchant banker for fairness opinion. After a thorough due diligence by an independent agency, the board has decided to propose the scheme of arrangement to NCLT. The consideration of ₹362.73 crore will be paid through 6% cumulative redeemable preference shares, redeemable only after 18 months from the issuance date, and there will be no equity dilution for the WCL shareholders. WSSL will continue to remain listed on the stock exchange. Since the stakeholders who are holding not less than 50% of the equity shares in the demerged company are the same stakeholders holding not less than 50% equity shares in the resulting company, the indirect acquisition control of WSSL pursuant to the proposed scheme is exempt from making an open offer under the provision of SEBI SAST Regulations 2011. I also take this opportunity to touch upon some of the softer aspects, the key initiatives which the organization, which the Welspun Corp has rolled out during this year. The sustainability and the ESG journey. We recognize that our business impacts all stakeholders, including investors and the communities in which we live and work. In this regard, we have accelerated our ESG journey. We have begun by setting up clear ambition with bold targets. We are aiming for increase of use of renewable energy, zero waste to landfill, and being water neutral. There are also targets for corporate social venturing and sustainable supply chain. Apart from long-term sustainability targets, we are undertaking several management interventions with ESG at the core for FY22. Some of these are: we are redefining a governance structure for ESG, including formation of ESG committees of the board, creation and adherence of ESG-related policies like overall ESG policy, sustainable procurement policy, and ESG compliant suppliers code of conduct. 100% of all staff and associates in training for ethics and compliance and conflict of interest. Gender diversity to increase from present 3% to 5%. Other diversity to increase from 0.25% to 1%. Our SWS score should be greater than 17%, and more than 5% of our employees will volunteer for the CSR activities. The other key initiative which we drove very hard in FY21 was the digital initiative. We have been rapidly adopting digital technologies into all areas of our business, resulting in a fundamental change in how we operate and how we deliver value. All the financial transactions, whether it is AP, AR, GL, I have now been moved to the shared service center. We have also developed a customized customer portal with information accessible to each specific customer. Today, a customer can log in onto this digital initiative, see the progress of all our orders, what he has placed, what is the status of his orders. He doesn't have to be dependent, you know, on any other channel for flow of information. Other initiatives include automation of export-import documentation system, driven system-driven processes for master data management, integration of our learning management system with our in-house tool, and elimination of spreadsheets, Excels, to system-generated reports and forms. These are all being done in order to bring digital transformation as a core to our growth. We have also utilized this time, pandemic time, in terms of upskilling and using this time for the training and learning and development of our employees. As we strongly believe that the people are the most valuable asset for any organization, including us, and we have placed a significant emphasis on their learning and development. We are pleased to inform that in FY21, we conducted over 1,300 training programs, 2,300 employees attending them, and cumulatively, 23,500 of training was being imparted. This is phenomenal achievement, in my opinion. Health and safety. Our people, as I said, has always been our greatest strength. In the second wave of the pandemic, we have lost few of our employees. While any kind of financial support cannot compensate for the magnitude for the loss of life, but we always remain with the families during these difficult times. Accordingly, and as a measure to support the families of the deceased employees, the company decided to offer the following. Extend the group term life insurance plan for the benefit of employees' family, 50% of the monthly salary for 2 years as living allowance, medical insurance for the family of rupees 5 lakhs for the next 10 years, education fees for 2 children up to graduation, and consider spouse and children for suitable job roles based on company policy as per the requisite qualification and skill. Bottom line, we are there for the families of our employees whom we have lost. Also, recognizing that vaccination is going to be the key remedy to fight this pandemic, the company organized vaccination camps across all its locations globally for its employees, their family members, and business partners. More than 3,000 people have been vaccinated till now as a part of this particular drive. Occupational health and safety is a strong focus area. We are pleased to highlight that there has been zero fatalities in our manufacturing operations across all the global manufacturing locations in FY21. Also, our DI project, which is a greenfield project, you know, we recently completed 1 million man hours without any lost time injury. Some other updates which I would like to highlight. One is the corporate tax rate. The company has fully utilized its existing tax credits in Q4 FY21. Accordingly, from FY22 onwards, the company will now switch to a new corporate tax rate of 25.17% from the existing 34.94%, both including surcharge. Number two, capital allocation policy. We revisited our as we are a net cash company. You know, we revisited our capital allocation policy, and I am very pleased to highlight that the company has adopted a very judicious policy for allocating resources to different projects. We will pursue both organic and inorganic growth opportunities and bring them to the consideration of the board, provided they meet the internal thresholds of ROI and profitability as set out. Some of the new business areas that are being evaluated is marine fabrication, industrial fabrication, seamless pipe, carbon steel business, renewable energy, accordingly, etc. Accordingly, our object clause is also proposed to be amended. Lastly, dividend. Considering our growth plans, cash position, and to reward our committed and loyal shareholders, the board has recommended a dividend of rupees 5 per share. It is with this I conclude my opening remarks. I will be happy to take any questions you may have, and we thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Mr. Vikas Singh from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Vikas.
Yeah. Sir, I just want to understand our cash position. So basically, we have got roughly about 700 crore rupees after March when our cash position was 600 crore plus. So have we invested significant amount, 500-600 crore during last couple of months in the capex, or why, or it has gone into the working capital because it actually is not matching the incremental cash inflow plus 2 months of other cash flows from the normal business plus the closing balance. So if you could just reconcile this, it would be really helpful.
Sure.
Yeah. Hi, this is Percy here. So the cash that we received from the PCMD sale proceeds after 31st March, it has gone in 2-3 avenues. First is, of course, our DI project that is going on. So from Welspun Corp's side, as the promoter's contribution, we have to invest at least 30% into that. So some of the funds have got invested into the DI project, which is being under construction right now. And a few other funds have also gone into working capital. So some of the customer advances that were there in the olden days, those orders that they got executed, those customer advances have been now liquidated. So mostly it's in the DI project investment and of course in the working capital. And the balances of course will result into an increase in the net cash. So as and when we come out with our June quarter numbers, you will see that our net cash is also improved further.
So is it safe to assume that the total ballpark number would be 500 crore plus, because that's how the math worked out in the last 2 months, this 500 crore kind of the investment we had made in working capital as DI capex?
So the March net cash was 620 crores and after that we have received the PCMD sale proceeds. And PCMD sale proceeds are going into three places, as I said. First is into the DI project, something is going into working capital, and the third is what will result in increase in net cash. So from 620 plus whatever is the balance will be increase in net cash.
Understood, sir. Understood.
Thank you.
Sir, my second question pertains to your TMT business. Basically, we have been in the past, has walked down the path of kind of a steel manufacturer and later on sold that business to JSW only. So why we are actually entering into TMT manufacturing now at this point of time? So my first question is that. And secondly, would the DI blast furnace now would capacity like would also be enhanced to 0.7, 0.8 million tons so that it would be able to cater the TMT business as well apart from catering DI pipe business?
Ashish, the two businesses of what you're talking about, PCMD and TMT, are two different businesses altogether, right? The TMT.
No, I'm talking about we used to have a sponge iron 1 million ton manufacturing facility 5-6 years back, and this they have sold to JSW at that point of time. So we have walked down the path long back in terms of trying to be an integrated manufacturer. I'm talking about 2013 kind of the scenario when we have suffered a huge losses on the steel business side.
So you're right. What you're saying is right. But I think so. These are not two comparable scenarios. You are referring to Vikram Spark. The intent of setting up Vikram Spark was very, very clear that we wanted to become an integrated steel manufacturer, wanted to make our own slabs and wanted to use those slabs for our plate mill. But you are aware because of the gas allocation policy which got completely changed at that point of time, which was the key feed for that particular plant, you know, that project could not materialize as it was planned. So that was in those days. Now, coming back to this particular business is already a completely integrated unit. We are there, you know, they are manufacturing their own DRI, they are manufacturing their own SMS. Now we are only trying to put a further downstream value-added product, which is called TMT. So this is all at one particular location, the facilities are completely existing, and it is only a downstream value-added product which is now getting added. So these two things are literally not comparable.
Okay.
Coming to the blast furnace side of it, I think so your second question was with respect to the blast furnace. As you know that we are putting up a blast furnace which would have a capacity of almost 400,000 tons per annum. And accordingly, now what we have done is, earlier we were trying to put a capacity of 250,000 tons for our DI side of it, which means we were using 250,000 tons of metal out of 400,000 tons, which was coming up from the blast furnace. But looking at the potential, which we are seeing that is, you know, incremental potential, which we are very hopeful to get in the DI business, we have decided to increase our DI facility also to match to 400,000 tons. So now we would have the blast furnace also at 400,000 tons, and the DI manufacturing facility also at 400,000 tons.
Okay, so this billet manufacturing capacity has been fed by another mill. Is that correct, assumption?
This billet manufacturing facility is right there in Anjar, adjacent to our steel plant, the DI plant, but it is an independent facility altogether. You know, it has its own kilns, it produces its own DRI, it produces its own SMS, which is billets. And now under the billet, we are putting up a new TMT mill. But what is the advantage is going to be that, but for both the plants, whether it is a DI plant or the blast furnace or for this TMT mill, the raw material feed is all about iron ore, coal and scrap. So we are going to buy, you know, there is going to be a complete integration of supply chain which is going to happen. Everything is going to come under one roof. The management bandwidth is going to be the same. Either the logistic integration is going to happen. So there is a lot of synergy which is now emerging into this. On top of it, the greatest advantage is that this facility, the WSL facility where we intend to make the TMT, also has an NMDC linkage. We have an arrangement with NMDC for sourcing iron ore. So this facility in any case is sourcing iron ore under a contract arrangement with NMDC, and that is going to be beneficial for both of its facilities, now for the DI as well as for the TMT side as well.
Understood, sir. So just one last question, if I can put in. Our US numbers has seems to be much better on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So if you could just tell me the volumes and major reasons, or is that the run rate we can assume going forward for US, or this would keep on fluctuating until and unless you get new orders from there?
See, the US in the last year, we did almost 65,000 tons of sales in the US in the quarter four, you know, and then we have an order visibility till the Q1. Or let's say by mid of Q2, we have a complete visibility till mid of the Q2. Literally by end of July, we would be done with all the existing orders in hand. Today, beyond that, we do not have any business or business visibility in our hand. You know, the US business, as I have told you earlier also, is seeing a little bit of a headwind at this point of time. But if you look at the fundamentals, the oil pricing almost at $75 a barrel, the gas pricing at its highest, right, the demand coming back to almost pre-pandemic level. I think so it is just a matter of time that, you know, we would see the capex coming back into the US. We expect that in the second half of the, later part of the second half of this FY22, we expect the demand to come back. It looks like one or two quarters could be slow quarters for us in the US, but beyond that, things should be coming back. Because these fundamentals cannot be overlooked.
Okay, sir. So this $217 EBITDA per ton in US, any one-off in that, or is purely operational in this quarter?
It's purely operational.
Okay, okay. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir, and all the best for future.
Thank you. Thank you, Vikas.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Siddharth Oberoi from Prudent Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So this is regarding the restructuring which is doing this scheme of arrangement. You mentioned that 363 crore is to be paid by Welspun Corp. Is it correct for this scheme?
That's correct.
Yeah. So what does this include? Does this include the TMT bar facility, the Welspun Specialty Solutions stake, this Anjar TMT, and the Welspun captive power? These four things included?
Yeah. So the consideration is for Welspun Steel division, which is currently, of course, billet manufacturing. They are also into a project for the TMT facility setup. So right now in this TMT setup, obviously it's just initial construction, so there is no valuation assigned to the TMT work. And then of course the shareholding. So Welspun Steel holds about 50% shareholding in WSSL, that is Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited, which is a listed company. So that 50% investment is also coming. And then there is also an investment in Welspun Captive Power Generation, which is obviously for the captive power consumption requirement. So that also is coming to Welspun Corp. So the 362.73 crores of consideration includes Welspun Steel's steel division, then the 50% investment stake in WSSL, and of course the roughly 3% stake in Welspun Captive Power Generation.
Okay, and so WSSL is a loss-making company right now with 93 crores of revenues last year.
Correct.
And what is the profitability of Welspun Captive Power?
Welspun Captive Power is a very profitable company, and their business is basically only captive power supply. So it's in a very good shape.
Yeah, but we are buying just 3%, right? It's hardly any. This is
Exactly.
a very, very minority stake.
You are right.
But let me just clarify about this Welspun Specialty Steel, where you said it is a loss-making entity. What you made a statement is absolutely right. You know, but we have to understand the nature of the business, what that company is doing. This company is making specialty steel, which is stainless steel and stainless steel pipes. This business is completely on an upswing at this point of time. If you see in the last 1 year, you know, they have done a sale in the last year, financial FY 2021, they did a sale of 2,300 metric tons. A year before, they were close to 200 tons. So from 200 tons to 2,300 in metric ton is a quantum jump in the sales what they have done. The net sales NSR realization is almost close to 4 lakh rupees per ton for the pipes what they are selling. And this is almost at par comparable to any best of the industries in this particular, you know, the peer group in this particular industry. This business, as you know, is all about approval and accreditation. And one of the reasons for Welspun Corp to pitch into this particular business was that Welspun Corp has the might for, you know, and they can get the approvals and accreditations. Today, you know, in 1 year time, the amount of approvals and the accreditation this Welspun Specialty Steels have achieved is phenomenal. And that is the reason for its exponential growth from 200 tons to 2,300 tons in this in the FY 2021. Literally, they are at a break-even point at this point of time, right? If you see, it is a very high margin and an EBITDA-accretive business. You know, and
It did the revenues of 93 crores, correct?
Yeah, it is a 93 crore rupees revenue over 2,300 tons of sales of pipes.
Yeah, and generated 44 crore loss out of that.
It was close to
PBT, yeah.
13, 39, right?
30 crore rupees EBITDA.
40.
Yeah, that EBITDA level. So, you know, it is a journey. It is a business which is getting incubated. You know, we are completely convinced, you know, that in the last 12 months, the phenomenal growth what they have done. Fine. They are almost on the verge of break-even, but the way as the company will move forward into the next, you know, in the next financial year, this is a very, very productive business and, you know, a very, very high EBITDA accretive business. We are very confident. And if you look at it, you compare the peer group in this particular segment and, you know, the answer lies there itself. We are very bullish on the new order flow. If you just to highlight, even in this 2,300 metric ton business, what they did this in this particular year, you know, almost 18% has been the export. So the product acceptability into the market, the approval and accreditation is global. I think so is what it is going to charter the growth of this company in times to come.
Yeah, and so we get so we is there any plan to repay the debt of this company 166 crores by Welspun Corp?
We do not have any plans. There would be, the debt would be close to 185 crore if I am not wrong. The precise number would be 185, and that is the way it would be. That is the debt which will come into the Welspun Corp books.
All right. Also, this Welspun Steel has three divisions. Like, one is the sponge iron division. Are we merging that as well?
Welspun Steel has three setups. One is the sponge iron making. Other one is the SMS where you make the billet. And the third facility, what they are currently setting up at this point of time as we speak, is the TMT. So all the three will... all.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected. Line for the management got dropped. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected to the call. Sir, you may go ahead.
My sincerest apology for this technical glitch. I think so, you know, where did I lost you guys?
So, you were saying that the WSL has three divisions?
Yes. So, one is the sponge iron making facility, other is the SMS where they make the billet, and the third facility is being TMT, which is currently being set up. So, as a part of that structuring, as a part of the consideration, the sponge iron and the SMS facility is coming, and the TMT facility is being set up at this point of time.
So, but that's my question. So, two billets and TMT is going to WCL, but not the sponge iron one, correct?
No, including the sponge iron, SMS are already an existing facility. TMT is being set up at this point of time.
All right. So all these three are getting demerged.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Also, this is regarding the orders that, you've bagged in the last 1 year. There has been hardly any, except for this Australian one, which was already given and, was probably postponed or something, has come back. There has not been much order bagging. Right now, we have orders for almost like maybe, 2 quarters. And after that, I think, there's nothing actually. So what has been the scenario there?
So, last year, the order book, we booked order close to 825,000 tons in the year, number one, right? And right now as we speak, we have an open order book of almost close to 580,000 tons. 530,000 tons of an order book what we have. There has been a little slowdown, as you know, in India, the water sector has got impacted, because of this pandemic. The first quarter of this year, the first quarter of the last year also was impacted. The first quarter of this year is also getting impacted because of this pandemic, where the procurement activity under the water sector has slowed down a little bit. And that is slightly getting reflected. But as we have caught up in the subsequent quarters in the last financial year, I am sure that, with the strong oil price, and a strong demand rebounding back, and in any case, water is going to play a key role. This demand is going to come back, and we should be able to get our own share.
Thank you very much. Siddhartha, I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Amit from Autumn Investment and Infra. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, Vipul sir.
Good morning.
Sir, just a couple of questions. One is, I would like to understand how much total capex is done till date out of 1550 crores in DI pipe.
So far we are close to about 400 crores is what we have already invested. And then of course there are LCs that are opened for machinery to be supplied and purchase orders are issued. So I think capital commitments that we would have gone by now would be close to 1000 crores.
Okay. And how do you see that, next 2 years for year one, say FY22 and 23, the capacity utilization of the DI pipe?
See, in FY22, it is in FY22. The
23 and 24, I'm sorry. For
yeah, 22, the product is not going to be there. In 23, 24, I think so the product will be into the market. It will require approvals and accreditations, but, and of course, there is going to be a sort of a gradual ramp up on the selling side of it. But then you have two products. If we would sell the DI pipes, of course, and then we will also focus on selling the pig iron because both the commodities are completely sellable.
Pig iron is easily sellable.
We will continue to work on that. But looking at the demand, Amit, just to answer your question, that looking into the demand, what we are forcing at this point of time, I think so in the very first year, we should see a significant capacity utilization of our DI plant. That's the whole objective. That's all we are working for.
Is it fair to assume, say, 60 to 70% in year one or crossing 75 to 80% in year two?
No, that will be too optimistic. I don't think so. Any new businesses requires a time to ramp up. I think so anything between 30 to 40% capacity utilization in the very first year and then ramp up over the next two years is a very fair estimate to make.
Positive, right?
So our intention would be to do more, but we also have to be mindful of the ground situation as well.
Okay. Sir, coming back to the recent acquisition which we announced from the promoter group and all, just want to understand how much total capex additional over and above the DI5 company is committing, and what will be the gross value addition, gross debt added in the consolidated balance sheet?
So the apart from the consideration, what is being finalized based on the arm's length evaluation done by the independent agencies, you know, there is going to be a capex of almost around 175 odd crore rupees, which is on the TMT side of it, number one. And from a gross addition in the debt, I think so that 185 crore rupees is the total debt which will come into the Welspun Corp books. That's the total addition of the debt which will happen. And that debt in any case is sitting in WSSL. In WSL, in any case, is a debt-free company. The portion of the WSL what we have acquired is completely debt-free, so there is hardly any debt addition on WSL. The 185 crore rupees addition of the debt is only happening in WSSL.
Okay. So, when you see that this total, whatever the business we are, you know, acquiring, how much, you know, total EBITDA can be generated out of 2 or 3 years when it will be started? Because WSSL also, as on today, is making losses. So, how we see this, you know, total investment what we are doing should start generating the returns?
See, if we look at a medium term, let's say if we plot it over 3 years' time, you know, it is very, very clear that 40% of our total sales and 50% of our EBITDA in times to come over 2 to 3 years' time is going to come from these new businesses. And that is what is driving us to bring, we want to bring earning predictability on the table. You know, today we have been purely on the water, oil and gas and the water side of it. And, you know, there has been issues with respect to the predictability. And it is that particular issue we are trying to address, number one. So the earning predictability will come, and on top of it, it will enhance our earnings. So that is the roadmap which we have embarked upon, and that is why this diversification which is happening.
Sir, what is total return on equity that management is trying to, total investment what we are committing? As an expected return on equity, what we are trying to target?
It has to be in the, it has to be in excess of 15%.
And any uncertainty which you see in this, because you know our past, as we discussed also in the con call, that it's not that easy to ramp up the capex and everything. Any uncertainty which you feel like in this, which is get associated with the company?
See, let's talk about the TMT business. See, on the WSSL, which is a specialty steel business, I don't see any uncertainty. I only see a strong tailwind which is going to support that particular business. Coming back to the TMT business, this business is a commodity business, right? We are into a super cycle of commodity at this point of time. All feedbacks, all indications, all everything is suggesting that there is a fundamental shift which has happened into the steel market. We have seen how the coal is moving. We have seen how the iron ore is moving. We have seen that, we are not going to see the steel price dropping back to the same levels as what we have seen 3 years back. So there is a fundamental shift which has happened into the commodity cycle. And this cycle is going to stay. So earlier we get into this cycle, the better and the longer we are going to ride on it. And that is the whole rationale of going into the TMT business. You know, we could have stayed back at that billet business. But then again, the more you are into a value-added product, the better position you are in. Billet, TMT is a far more value-added product in front of a billet. In any case, we are producing billet. So rather than making billet, why can't we make TMT and be more up in the value chain? So that is the whole thought process. I think so the downside, as you asked, is if the commodity cycles take a nosedive, the steel industry as such takes a nosedive in, then we will definitely be impacted like anyone else.
Okay. So just last thing, you have written that, other opportunity or other size opportunity which you are looking into it. What are the size which we are looking or any idea? Isn't something is on table?
Nothing. We keep on evaluating. See, at this point of time when I have a balance sheet like this, I have, we have cash available. And more importantly, forget about these two things. More importantly, ample opportunities available on the table. You are seeing that under the IBC, NCLT, liquidation.
Participants, please stay connected. Line for the management got disconnected. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. So you may go ahead.
I don't know where did I drop. So did I answer your question, please?
Yes, sir. Just last thing, want to understand, the capital allocation policy has been already drafted or has been, planned. But what about the distribution policy? We have announced 5 rupees dividend, but it's very in tax, tax is, it's not an efficiently tax can be worked out in this. Why not we, after company is sitting with a huge cash flow and strong balance sheet, why not a strong buyback or something has been not done?
See, you have to go, we believe in walking the talk. Let's say this company has been a dividend paying company all through its, you know, for the last 10 years, number one. Whenever we have the cash available, we have always believed in distributing that cash. If you see in FY19, we did a buyback. In FY20, we gave a special dividend. In FY21, we have the earnings, we have given the dividend to our stakeholders. That's, you know, prior to that, you know, we had a debt which is almost 2,000 crore rupees debt which was there with us. We had always been working in terms of, you know, making this company as a debt-free, which was our long-stated goal in any case. The moment we started becoming debt-free on the fagon, if you see our performance in the last 3 years, as the earnings have been there, we have been rewarding our stakeholders. So, you know, that is the journey we will continue to work on, whether it is by virtue of a dividend or by virtue of a buyback. I think so that's in the wisdom of the board, they keep on deciding and keep on guiding us. But rewarding the shareholders continue to be our foremost priority.
That's all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Varun Nadar from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Varun.
I just want a clarification on the capex spend for FY22. So I think you've guided that 175 odd crores will be spent on the TMT division. Over and above that, of course, the balance to be spent on the DI, which would be anywhere about 1,000 odd crores. So will there be any other incremental capex?
Nothing. Apart from that, there would be minor maintenance capex for our existing our existing pipe business, which is always in the vicinity of anything between 50 to 60 crore rupees.
Got that. And over and above, there is the scheduled repayment of the preference shares, which is in 18 months time. Right?
Which is 18 months from the date of allotment. So it is at least 2.5 years away.
Oh, okay, fine. All right, got that. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Nipun.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mr. Bhavin Chera from NIM Holdings Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. What would be the breakup of the order book of 528 first into India, US and Saudi, and the other is into ILSA, ETSA, UAW?
Yeah. If you look at the breakup of 528, it is almost close to 180,000 tons in Saudi. In America, we have low, it is close to 50,000 tons. And in India, it is around 300,000 tons. So that put together 530,000 tons of order book, Bhavin.
Yeah. And the product-wise breakup would be?
And the product-wise breakup would be, let's say, out of this 528, almost 350,000 tons is spiral. Almost 150,000 tons is longitudinal. And the balance 30,000 tons, close to approximately 30,000 tons is ERW.
And this US, you said, will largely be over by July. So this quarter one, July.
That's correct. By the start of quarter two, I think so. The entire production and everything would be over for the existing orders what we have.
And the bid book would be like?
The bid book at this point of time is looking around close to 1.2 million tons.
Okay. And this is largely from India?
This actually, there is a little shift in the bid book this time. This bid book is it has two or three areas. Geography is very strongly looking at one of them. Of course, happens to be India. The other one also happens to be Australasia. I think so. The Australasian market is looking extremely vibrant at this point of time. And the third market, which is looking very vibrant, is the Latin American market.
What I meant is that 1.2 would be largely be bid from the Indian plant book, right? I think it will be from Saudi also, right?
This 1.2 largely would be from Indian bid book point of view. Saudi bid book would not be that much as it used to be.
Okay, because Saudi, as you said, that Saudi Aramco order also is expected in second half.
Yes.
So that's not forming part of...
It is a part of that bid book. It is a part of that 1.2 million bid book. But I'm saying that the big ticket items in this 1.2 million tons is coming out primarily from Latin America and this Australasian market, and that is meant for India. I'm not saying that Saudi, is not there. Saudi and the US both are there. But the component in 1.2 million tons is this time a little low. There is a little bit of a paradigm shift which has happened in the bid book.
Sure. And this steel company which is being merged, what's the current capacity of DRI and billets which are already you are manufacturing there?
At this point of time, we are close to like 275,000, 280,000 tons of existing capacity, which we are doing it in any case. With a very, you know, with a very minor adjustment here and there, we can reach up to 350,000 tons of steel making capacity. And correspondingly, if you see that we are also putting up a downstream 350,000 tons TMT plant accordingly. Just to match that.
And this TMT plant would be ready in this fiscal only?
No, it will. This is a 12-month process, and we have just started. I think so. It will be in the quarter. It will be by the end of the quarter two of the next year.
So more or less, DI5, TMT, all major projects would be completed by next year between March 22 and June 22, right?
Very correct. Very correct. Yes.
Okay. And this TMT 350, you're spending capex of 175 crore.
Correct. Plus some soft cost, yeah.
Yeah. And DI5 now is 1450, right?
1550.
Okay. And normal maintenance...
1252 plus the soft cost. So 1250 to 1550.
So the total plus soft cost.
What do you mean by soft cost?
We have...
contingencies, GST is additional, you know, GST is and all that stuff.
So that is another what?
15-18%. Hello, Bhavin?
Again, line dropped.
No, sir, your line is connected. You
okay.
Move on to the next participant.
Okay.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Rishikesh Oja from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Oja.
Hi, sir. So my first question is if you could talk about the commodity price impact, specifically on what impact can it have on EBITDA per ton basis?
Sorry, I didn't get you. Come again, please.
So my first question is if you could talk about the commodity prices impact and specifically on what impact it has on EBITDA per ton.
And this is specifically in question with the upcoming TMT mill, right?
No, this is an overall business service regarding the steel price increase.
Okay. See the commodity, as you know, the commodity price are at unprecedentedly high level at this point of time, number one. In our existing course of business, almost, you know, we are completely hedge our steel. Now, in a way, hedge means we always cover our steel. So, per se, the commodity, any change in the commodity price, is a pass-through, you know, is generally a steel price is a pass-through cost for us. So any commodity price increase or decrease doesn't make much of an impact for us. If it decreases, it helps us. But if it increases, we are adequately covered. But, you know, there are certain aberrations, you know, you do almost close to a million ton. It is always some 30,000-40,000 tons, you know, there is a timing mismatch. To that extent, you are open. Other than that, we are completely covered on the commodity side of it, on the steel side of it. Hello? Yeah, Mr. Oja, did you?
Yes, sir. So, like, last call, as you had said, you know, you will be maintaining some EBITDA per ton of $150. So, would you guide the same right now?
Generally, you know, I mean, we have seen that in, you know, the product mix what we are servicing, if our product mix is continuing, is going to be the same. I think so that's a fair assumption to make.
Okay. Also, so my next question is regarding the DI pipes. So earlier we were doing like a capex of 1250 crore, and on that you had said some asset turnover will be maintaining of 1, but you know, while our around potential was something like 3000 crores or so, and at the same time you said the competitors are almost operating at full capacity. Okay, so just wanted to know if you could clear it up, like why are we operating at half of the capacity while the competitors will be operating at full capacity? Just wanted to know here.
No, I didn't say that we are, see, first and foremost, we are yet to commence our operations, number one. I never said that we are going to operate at half of our capacity. On the contrary, if you see that we have enhanced our capacity from 250,000 tons to 400,000 tons. So we have a very strong conviction behind us. All what I was saying in the earlier part of the call, that any business, any new business will require a period of gestation. It will require, you know, 1 or 2 years time in terms of reaching its fullest potential. So, and we are very confident of, have a high capacity utilization around this plant.
Okay, okay. And my last question, sir, as you have given the timeline on your TMT as September 2022, can you just share what is the revenue potential there and EBITDA margins that you are targeting?
See, typically, you know, once this facility is in place, the TMT facility is in place, the WSSL as an entity, the WSL as an entity could have a top line of close to 1200 crore rupees and, you know, and of course with an EBITDA margin of anything between 12 to 15%. Hello?
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Oja.
Thank you very much. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Vikash, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on excellent set of results. Very quick question. Is there any thing on the angle of a dividend distribution policy in terms of return to shareholders? See, because the last few calls you've been stating that we will not be undertaking too much capex in the future. But I believe now we're going for another big round of capex. So, you know, you've been generating a significant amount of cash flow, 750 crores this year. When can the shareholders expect some decent amount of dividends, sir?
See, when we said that we are not going to make major capex, I think so, you know, it was, we have done, it was after we have disclosed the DI part of it. And today, if you look at it post the DI, only the incremental capex what we are contemplating to make is something like 175 crore rupees. And we have to understand the rationale behind it. See, today we have to prepare this company for the future, right? If we don't make the calls today, the predictability of the earnings and the the enhancement in the earnings is not going to come. So these are calls keeping in mind that how I am going to make this company ready for the next in next 3 years time. So whereas all the shareholders, stakeholders see a consistent earning coming up, you know, a predictability in earning coming up, and appropriate valuation is being assigned to this particular company. Today, being into a project-driven business, we have been seeing that, you know, it has been a very cyclical business altogether. And all that what we are trying to make this company ready for the future. And if both the DI, what incremental capex we are doing is only 175 crore rupees at this point of time on the TMT side of it.
Sure, sir. So one additional question. In 2016, you had started a JV with Vasco Energy for the CWC plant. What's the update on that? What's the operating capacity? How is that business going?
See, that business is completely linked to the way how business shapes up in offshore. And you know, at that point of time, we were very buoyant and we were very optimistic that the offshore business in India is going to grow. Unfortunately, it has not grown to the level as what it was anticipated or what was projected. Nevertheless, you know, the JV per se has not been into losses, you know, it has not been consistently operating, but you know, whenever you get a project, you are able to meet out your cost. It is not neither contributing nor dragging our balance sheet.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
But strategically, it is imperative for us to be in that particular business. Hello?
Sir, we'll move on to the next participant.
Yes.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Nirav Shah from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Shah.
Good morning, sir. Sir, I have just 3 questions. Most of the questions have been answered. Firstly, we have seen a mark-to-market gain of 29 crores during the quarter. So is this on Jorbat Silong or what is this mark-to-market on which bonds?
Sure. So Welspun Corp has this investment in Welspun Captive Power Generation Limited. And as we said earlier on the call, this WCPGL company is doing very well. At the end of every 6 months, we need to MTM, mark to market. So as the book value keeps improving, we need to realign our investment value also. So that's the reason why you are seeing this.
Okay, so this is on that investment and not on the... But any update on the bond portfolio? Because we've seen some resolution over there and... in December itself, I mean, on Jorbad at least.
Yeah, so Jorbad, Shillong, we are very confident that we should be able to recover at least our cost. So if you remember, we had about 40 crores worth of Jorbad, Shillong bonds, which were 100% provided by us in the books.
Yeah.
So as and when we are able to dispose them, and we are working on it, if God willing, we should be able to do it in Q1, or if not Q1, then at least Q2, we should be able to liquidate them, and that will come as a bottom line impact, and of course the cash flow impact, both.
Perfect. And this, the next two questions are on the steel price. I mean, in USA, we have seen steel prices of close to or more than $1,800, and their prices are highest globally. So you see this as a impediment to future awards? I mean, despite your outlook improving in second half as expected by you, but will steel price over there in excess of $800 play a spoil score?
It is definitely. I don't think so. That factor can be overlooked. The prices are too very high at this point of time, and that is also one of the factors for the, you know, for the capex spending to be slowed down a little bit. I am sure that, you know, these prices will normalize over a period of time. And they should actually. And we should see the capex cycle coming back there. But answering your question, there is an impact of high steel pricing there, which has held back the capex there, no doubt about it.
And any awarding, even if we see something in Q3, execution will start only in Q4. So Q3 will sort of be a washout.
It depends. See, you know, you see, Nirav, in US, things goes up very fast, come down very fast. So, you know, there are quite a few projects which are currently under discussion at this point of time. You know, they are holding, you know, they are holding back their decisions at this point of time. You know, I'm sure that at the end of the day, the project viability will be the overriding factor. And at that point of time, I'm sure they will try to overlook whether the commodity steel prices is high, low, or whatever that may be. But looks like that sooner rather than later, they should be coming back into the market.
Perfect. And last question is on Saudi operations, sir. We mentioned that we have locked in the steel prices for the order book.
Yes.
So any guidance on EBITDA pattern over there? Because we reported a loss, though part of that could be attributed to lower operations. But has the spreads per se contracted for the existing operations to a meaningful extent?
If you look at it, last 2 years, we had, we executed, like, we have almost 1 million ton of an order, which we executed over the last almost two and a half years. There we got the benefit of the commodity cycle, where with the prices at which we have taken the orders versus the prices that we bought the steel, you know, that brought in the extra cash into the system. Now we have come into a cycle where we have locked the steel. We will be able to get the price, steel pricing, at the same price that what we have bid it for. So there may not be a very significant incremental incremental earnings which may come because of the differential in the steel price. But having said that, we have covered our steel. We are not going to lose money. It is only a matter that how, you know, can we make a little more money out of that or not? Is that what we will continue to watch?
So there also the EBITDA pattern guidance should be close to $150 on at least.
That's correct.
Perfect, sir. Great. Thanks a lot, sir. All the best.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Mr. Akash Mittal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Akash this side.
Good morning, Akash.
Good morning, sir. A couple of queries. I mean, I appreciate that you are trying to diversify the risk of business from cyclicity and other things. But on the other hand, you are going into a much more cyclical business, which is TMT bars, right? And you also, in your words, the super commodity cycle we are seeing now. So my apprehension is, isn't it too late to realize that? And secondly, that on one hand, we are trying to de-risk from cyclicity. On the other hand, we are riding a much more cyclical business to the fold. What could be the rationale behind it?
So there is a little differentiation I would like to draw, Akash. See, this cyclical business, what we are now getting it is into, you have a complete end-to-end control on, you have a complete end-to-end control on that particular thing, right? From the iron ore making to the steel making to the billet to the TMT, you are having a complete end-to-end control on your value chain. You know, when you compare it with our pipe business and the cyclicality regarding our pipe business, we don't have an end-to-end control on, right? We are buying the steel from outside and selling it at a fixed price. So that puts our business to a much larger risk than where you have a complete control on the valuation or the value chain. So there's a little difference out here. So once you have a complete control on your value chain, the impact of the business, the impact is far more minimal than the impact what you have when you do not have a full control on the value chain. So there's a difference out here. And that is the reason we took a calculative call this time that whatever businesses we will get into, we must be in complete control of our, the value chain and our destiny. We cannot leave it to, you know, to the market forces. You know, today what happens, you know, your iron ore prices will go down. So is your final price will go down. So is the spread what you are going to get. You are protecting your spread. Whereas if you do not control the whole value chain, you know, you are not in control of the spread. You are only in control of the limited value addition, 10% of the value addition over 90% or over 100% of job what you have got.
So, but by that logic, you shouldn't have sold the plate and mill division because you had a control on the raw material.
No, I did not. I did not have the control on the raw material. I did not have the slab. And that is why it became a non-core business to me. If I would have a control on my steel, on my slab, there was no reason for us to sell that plate mill business. And, you know, earlier in the call, you would have heard, I mentioned that, you know, the intent was that, you know, we took with that Vikram Ispat with that objective only. But because for the change in the government regulation, it did not work out. That is why it became a non-core business. Otherwise, plate mill was a beautiful investment to make.
Okay. Now, continuing on the TMT bar, sir, it's a B2C business, what I understand, right? Now, B2C business, your current business is where you are a leader. I mean, it's an aspirational business that we are the leaders. This TMT bar business is a me-too business. There is no dearth of TMT mills or billet producing plants, JSW Special Ispat, JSW Steel, JSPL. I can keep on ranting names. So what is it that you are bringing to the table for a shareholder? Because it's a me-too product. There is no differentiation. There is no technology. When I look at your product, I'm into this business. So when I look at your products in US, when I look at your products in Saudi Arabia and India, I feel there's a distinguished advantage you have in your manufacturing process. But for TMT bars, you need a different sort of sales team. You need a different working capital cycle. You need a marketing spend. Where is it all going to come from? I mean, is my money not better invested in the existing DI and the HSAW, LSAW, ERW business?
See, in any case, I think that's a great question and good that you asked that question. See, at the end of the day, we have historically been into completely B2B cycle, number one, right? Now, with venturing into the DI business also has a small, has a component of B2C into it, right? Okay. In any case, we are embarking on to B2C journey, number one. Number two, in any case, today, if we have to really create valuations for this organization, there has to be a hybrid element of B2B and B2C. Just alone having running on the B2B business, we are not seeing any valuation getting created. And if you see the, I can also give you half of the dozen companies who are also doing the same similar business, but their presence in the B2C market is much more, and you see the valuation they are getting around. So the message, the
it's
underlying
valuation. See, it's about the core of the business. You have a core of the business.
I'm coming to that. See, at the end, what is driving us that there has to be a component of B2C which has to come into our portfolio, number one. Number two, coming to the core of the business, what is our core? Our core is our brand, core is our quality, core is our customer centricity, core is our deliverability, serviceability. That is what our core is. That is what Welspun stands for. Irrespective whether we are in business A or business B, that is what is our offering going to be into the market.
Okay, I agree to your point. Okay, let's agree with that. Now my last question, sir, is, recently, I'm quite surprised that you didn't cover that point, and actually that's alarming for me from a management vision perspective, and I will come to that. The point is, Mr. Biden has an infrastructure plan almost approved. It will be shortly signed off, right? The second best category in that spend is around the 100% replacement of water pipes in the US, which are lead-ridden, right? And you have not touched upon that point anywhere in your presentation or management plan. Rather, it is all about going into TNT bars or something. I would have been greatly happy as a shareholder if you had thought of that opportunity, planning to capitalize on that. Because it's an opportunity, you have a plant in the US, you have the whole ecosystem set up in the US. So why is no mention of that anywhere?
Akash, a fair point you are making. I think so is that should have got reflected. I think so to that extent I will concede to your point. That should have got reflected into my comment or in my opening comment. That's a fair point. But having said that, we are completely mindful of that fact. We are completely mindful as to what is happening, what is the infrastructure plan, which has been announced by Mr. Biden. But just for your information, I think so that is an intent which has only been notified at this point of time. It is yet to get a Senate approval. And if you see the traction, what is happening in that, I think so there is a big debate which is going in terms of cutting it down. Earlier they announced it for almost 4 trillion. Now they have only cut it down to almost 1.2 trillion. So there is a lot of debate which is happening around that, number one. Number two, as we speak, you know, we are doing, you know, we are conducting a sort of a study that what does it mean for us? When they say they are going to replace water pipelines, what does a water pipeline mean there? There in America, the water pipeline system is, you know, largely driven by DI as well. Largely driven by DI business. So it is not out of our radar. Akash, I just want to assure you as an investor and all the investors and all the people on this call that we have not lost our sight out of our US market. We are evaluating multiple options, but then, you know, there has to be something concrete which has to happen, which makes us to deep dive into the whole process. Today we are not ready. Today, because that plan is yet not in such a form where you can deep dive, it is very hypothetical in nature. But just to be assured that it has not lost our sight.
Thank you very much. Sorry to interrupt you, Akash. I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. We'll take the last question from the line of Mr. Bhavin Chera from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Percy, what would be the gross block addition when you transfer the steel division to Wilson Corp? That would be one. And other, I think WSSL also will be consolidated since you will be having more than 50% stake. So this two would be added to the balance sheet. So if rough numbers if you have.
Sure, Bhavin. So WSL steel division, of course, will now become part of WCL itself. So we are looking at something close to about 250 crores that is there in WSL. And as far as WSSL is concerned, it's 50% shareholding. So that also is come close to about 200 plus. It's about 220 crores ke baju mein.
220 crores for 100%, right? Because
yes, so minority interest, which is minority interest.
Parasavan's lease take connected, line for the management control. Participants, thank you for your patience. So your line is reconnected. You may go ahead.
Bhavin, did you hear the question or should I repeat?
Yeah. So I think you said 250 crores on steel and 220 on WSSL.
That's right. And that's 100% on WSSL. So minority interest.
Largely net fixed assets, right?
That's right.
Okay. So on the asset side, we are adding 470, and on the liability side, what I'm counting is 362 preference shares. What you have to give. And 185 is the debt which is standing in WSSL, 547. So the balance number would be either some in net worth or, no, sorry, the balance number would be in working capital, right? Which will get added.
And also, 185 also, ideally speaking, you should take only half of it because it's only 50% ownership.
No, but on the balance sheet consolidation, the full number will enter your borrowing figure, no, sir?
You're right.
Okay. And the earlier thing I just missed on your FY20, so the capex number which you plan to spend in 22 and 23, how much was that?
See, maintenance capex is usually around 50 to 60 crores per annum.
Total capex?
We said 175 crores for the TMT.
The entire thing would be spent in 22.
There would be two capex. One, there would be a little leftover capex of the DI plant, number one. Whatever is left over, most likely, I don't think so that there is any significant capex which will be left over for in FY20.
March 22,
the entire capex should be done. Or there could be small trickle over. And all what we will be doing is this TMT of 175.
So 1550 plus 175 plus soft cost. So more or less, roughly 1800 to 2000 crores capex would be completed this year.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. And Percy, you earlier said that the DI pipes, you have spent 400 crores till date.
Yeah.
But if I see a CWIP number, that's much less. So
I was saying till date. What I was saying, 400 is till date. So as we speak at the end.
Quarter one, okay. Because your CWIP is 142. So, rest must be spent after March.
Yeah.
Okay, and what, how much would be the peak debt number then? Because if I now look at your numbers, roughly cash outgo looks like somewhere just under 2000 odd crores. And
we will be 820 net cash, right?
End June we should be close to about 820. So
820, and so maybe if you look at from now till next June or July, we would be spending roughly 1600-1700 crores, right?
In terms of capex?
Yeah.
Yeah, including DI, yes.
Okay. And minus the whatever the profits we generate in FY22 will go down. So then also our so March 22 net debt number will be closer to 1000 crores then, right?
Huh, most of the capex will get completed by March 22, bulk of it.
Sure. So we'll again be net debt company by March 22. Right?
Yeah, marginally, yes, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for joining us today on this conference call. I am sure that we would have been able to answer all of your questions. But for some reasons, if you think that you have any further questions or you need any clarifications, please feel free to get back to us and we would be more than happy to, you know, answer all that. And with that, I once again want to thank you and wish all of you stay safe. And thank you for being on the call. Thanks.
On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.